90%. That's the percent of your life that you're in your underwear. And yo, underwear, it gets old, and it gets old fast. Gets saggy and stretched out, yucky to wear. I know this is not a comfortable topic for many to talk about. Me, personally, I'm actually comfortable talking about people's underwear. Okay, I'll tell you why. Because my friends over at MeUndies.com, they got you covered. Yo, MeUndies has the most comfortable underwear you will ever try on. And it's insane how good they make you feel. They fit perfectly. They don't ride up you. They literally pull the moisture from your skin so you stay cool. And everybody wants to be cool. But they also make you look great, guys. No doubt about it. Go to MeUndies.com and check out the photography, man. And for girls, check out those smoking hot boy shorts. Every chick loves boy shorts. I love saying that. It's hilarious. The quality would be typically retail for two times the MeUndies price. No retail middleman, guys. That means more savings for you. So check it out. I'm going to make it easy for you because I'm going to hook you up with this great deal right now. So go to MeUndies.com/Taz. That's MeUndies.com/TAZ and get 20% off your first order and a low flat rate international shipping. Save even more when you buy a pack of them. It's a great deal. They guarantee you're going to be happy with them or the first pair is free. Once you feel MeUndies on your body, you will never go back. They also got t-shirts and stuff like that, long sleeve shirts for you. They got all sorts of stuff on there. You got to go to this website, MeUndies.com, and check it out. And MeUndies isn't just for guys. They just launched their All of Me Women's Collection, a four-piece line of undies designed specifically for the female body and all of its complex, gorgeous as hell glory. Everyone knows the woman's body, well, it's pretty hot. So check it out. Buy it for your girlfriend, your wife, whatever. Or if you're a chick, listen to this. Buy it for yourself. For guys, girls, whatever. They got all sorts of stuff. Go to MeUndies.com. You're going to save 20% by using my code. You know, but to get that 20% off, you have to go to MeUndies.com/TAZ. That's MeUndies, MeUndies.com/Taz.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
Taz. He is the human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. Love this reaction show
for the Celebrity Edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is he, Taz, and thank you for downloading and or subscribing this edition of the human podcast machine. I definitely appreciate it. Appreciate all the sponsors and all you guys supporting the sponsors also, because as you all know, without those guys and gals of the sponsorship dealio, there is no human podcast machine. Well, quite frankly, there is no Play It. So thank you to them, and thank you most, as I said, to you all for wrapping yourself around my point of views and my reactions, or whenever I have guests on. This is a WWE Battleground pay-per-view last night. My point of view on that show. I'll get into that in a second. Kind of gave you guys a little false alarm last week, so I need to apologize. I kind of jumped the gun a little bit via the Twitter machine. Gotta say, I said, look, I'm going to finally drop all the information on the announcement on what's going on with me and my future with CBS Radio and all that. Well, I had to put the brakes on. The powers that be, I had to put the brakes on. There were some things that just need to be finalized, and we're super, ultra, definitely super, super close. And I'm going to drop that info very, 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 ultra, very, very soon. If you guys are fans of mine or fans of the audio I drop here with CBS Radio and Play It and all, with the human podcast machine and things going forward, or if you're a fan of when I was doing Taz Live a couple months back, I can assure you, you will be happy, very, very happy, coming up very soon. I'm very excited, and hence why I kind of was chomping at the bit and dropped the info a little too quick. I apologize to you guys. Some people thought it was like a teaser, like on purpose. Like, I wasn't doing it like that. I wasn't trying to create any buzz or nothing like that. It was a shoot mess up on my part. It's funny. I was on vacation when I messed up, which is great. I'm on vacation. Now I'm dealing with the people I work for saying, okay, dude, wait, we got to slow down. Hold on. Not yet type thing. So it made for an interesting tail end to my vacation. Anyway, I digress. Let's get into WWE Battleground. Now, I thought it was a very good show. I enjoyed it. My first thing as a former in-ring competitor, as a wrestler, as a former champion, as a former broadcaster, color analyst and all this jazz, a trainer and everything, I always look at the in-ring product first, before production, before storylines, before, you know, who wins and loses the match, before, you know, who's wearing what color tights and boots and who looks cool, whose body looks great, who's not in shape. The first thing that comes out to me is the match itself, the physicality of the match, the storytelling of the physical end of the match. And I got to tell you, from top to bottom, I think WWE Battleground, the show last night on WWE Network, was great. I loved it. I enjoyed every single match. I'll get into, you know, I know some people were pissed off about the finish of the main event and even the semi-main event, which was Cena versus Owens for the United States Championship, and the main event was Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins, and some people were pissed off about that. I got to tell you, I'll get into that later on and give my point of view on that in this particular show, this podcast. But kicking things off, you know, in St. Louis, the hometown of the Viper, Randy Orton, the Apex Predator himself, comes out and faces Sheamus. Man, I got to tell you, man, I thought these guys, you know, there's a good story here with these guys. They showed B-roll, bringing people up to speed on the story. I thought Randy Orton and Sheamus had an extremely good match, a long match, with excellent chemistry between both these guys. I mean, they really just gel well in the ring together. And you would think on paper that they would gel well, because they're both big guys that are athletic. Randy's ultra-athletic. He's more athletic than Sheamus, but they kind of played off each other really well. I equate it to, I humbly say, and we're not as big as these guys were, but like myself and Sabu, you know, I was athletic and a little bigger than Sabu, physically heavier and thicker, and Sabu was ultra-athletic. You know, so it's like that's kind of on paper, you know, that's going to work. And that's why, I mean, maybe you got to be a former wrestler or a current wrestler or somebody really from the business to see what I'm saying. Maybe it doesn't make sense what I just said. But on paper, I would think Randy Orton and Sheamus works. On paper, I would not think that John Cena and Kevin Owens works. And I will get into that later on, but that does work. Both of these work. So back to Orton and Sheamus. Like I said, very long match. In a good way. I don't mean long in a bad way. It was lengthy. It was like watching a very strong live event, you know, house show match. And, I mean, people were going crazy. Randy Orton had that arena going nuts around the 20-minute mark. They were looking for the friggin' RKO and just going nuts, clamoring for the RKO. It was great. It was just great watching that. And they went into Orton and Sheamus went into a really cool false finish with the bro kick by Sheamus and all. Ends up being that it was an out-of-nowhere RKO. The winner was Randy Orton. Either guy could have won the match. I really enjoyed the match. Kudos to both guys, whoever the agent was. Good job on it. Excellent, excellent stuff. I thought the announcing was good. The storytelling was good on it, too. Then he went to a package, an excellent package, with the shakeup in the Divas division with, you know, the Divas Revolution. And the package kind of featured Stephanie, that she had this epiphany that she wanted to turn things around and revamp the Divas division like she did on Raw. And they went back and showed that package, told the story perfectly for those who maybe missed Raw. And in that package, you know, they focused on the new girls from NXT, like Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Charlotte, you know, did an excellent job bringing those three ladies to the forefront for the most part in that package, which I thought was excellently done. You know, I enjoyed the package. And then they went into, the tag teams, Primetime Players versus the New Day. Again, I thought this was another good match. Primetime Players won the match. New Day came out, you know, kicked it off, starting off their promo, getting their heat and stuff. And they do a great job of it. You know, they kind of get under your skin. That's the gimmick. Definitely chemistry here. I mean, these guys all just gel. And it was an excellent match. I enjoyed the match. I thought it was a fast-paced match. I mean, this wasn't as long as the previous match with Orton and Sheamus, but it was a good match, and which segued into Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. Again, excellent package, bringing people forward on a story. And that's what the WWE does just better than everybody, all these other companies. I don't care what anybody says, and it's no secret. The production end of it, I mean, it's like, you know, folks have been saying that for years, and it's a shoot. I mean, I've been on all ends of, you know, WWE and TNA and ECW back in the day. I never worked for Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground. But the production, the turnaround time, the storytelling, production-wise, is tremendous by the WWE. If you missed Raw or SmackDown or missed WWE for a couple of weeks, and that's how it was even when I was a commentator on SmackDown and Raw in the WWE. I mean, the packages are all about bringing you forward for those that missed, you know, and I think they did a great job in this show, like they always do, doing that. I would think the only one that would rival the look of the packaging is Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground, as I've had Chris DeJoseph from the creative team, a producer on my show here in the past, and Matt Stryker, the play-by-play guy for Lucha Underground, and we discussed a production of Lucha Underground. They do an amazing job. It's just, it's done differently. They do bulk tapings, and it's actually probably harder the way they do it. You know, so they it's a little bit harder to tape wrestling the way they do it, where WWE is a weekly deal, live. But these packages obviously aren't live. But it's just, in WWE, there are teams of guys and gals that work on certain shows and segments, and they pull from the library all different footage and audio bites and all this stuff. And it's hard, man. It's a lot harder than people know. I mean, I've seen the inner workings of the WWE studio, and it's as good as you would imagine. And that's a shoot, straight shoot. So back to Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. Very physical, again, long match in a good way. Very, very good match. I mean, I thought Reigns and Bray Wyatt worked extremely hard. Very, very hard with each other in a good way, man. Really brought some physicality. They worked up a sweat, as the cliche line goes. I mean, these guys worked hard. They busted their asses in there, and they did. They both of them did. And it was an excellent match. But both these guys have been pretty high up, top of the mountain type guys on the card, and they probably will be again in the near future. This was an excellent match. These guys worked hard. They didn't get complacent. Oh, not complacent. They didn't get bitter. You could tell. They weren't bitter. We were main eventers, same main eventers, whatever. And now we're early in the card, so we're going to dog it. Nuh-uh. Even Randy Orton, you know, I mean, whatever they said, it was 14, 13, 15-time world champion or Sheamus world champion. I mean, these guys are all working hard. They're early in the card. And that's why they have the success they have as wrestlers and performers, and they make the money they make. Because there is no complacency. There is no, you know, laziness. It doesn't matter if you're working in a building with 100 people in it or 100,000 people, you got to bust your ass because those 100 people paid for a ticket, just like those 100,000 paid for a ticket. You know what I mean? It's all the same difference. And you have to, you know, work as a machine in there, as a team, and you got to work as a top-notch, you know, class A performer, no matter how many lights are on for TV production, how many people are in the stands, you know, if it's TV, if it's a house show, whatever it is, you got to always work at a D1 level. Let's put it in sports terms, a Division I level, college sports terms. You know, you can't go in there with a lower attitude or a lower bitterness, I should say. And some guys have done that over the years, and that's why you just really fall off the radar, because a veteran years ago told me, "Hey, dude, it's always better to be second match than be no match," meaning not on the card, because you don't make money. So, you know, so
you know, all these folks, these guys and gals on this card, they've all paid their dues. They understand that, including the NXT folks. They've paid their dues too. So we'll get into that now in a second here. But back to Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt, he won the match because we had outside interference by a dude in a black hoodie, which was Luke Harper. You kind of could tell it was Luke Harper when he attacked Roman Reigns on the outside, even though he had the hoodie on. Excuse me. But it was hard to tell. It was quick. I tip my cap to the announcers here because they didn't stooge it off. They know it's going to be Luke Harper coming out, but you got to follow what your monitor says. And that monitor was kind of hard to say. And they probably knew he was going to expose who he was anyway at the end of the match when he got in the ring, Harper, and took his hoodie off. I thought that the Michael Cole and company did a good job of not tipping the hand right away and saying, that was Luke Harper, you know. Excuse me. So they did a good job of not saying that. So Bray Wyatt wins the match. Luke Harper, former member of the Wyatt family, helps out Bray. So interesting there. We'll see where they go with that, I guess, on Raw tonight or whatever. And then went to this triple threat for Divas, you know, and this was kind of that whole Divas Revolution thing that Stephanie McMahon was hitting on Raw and in the pay-per-view itself, WWE Battleground. So, you know, it was, the collection of the three teams, but they take one member of each team. So, you know, the team, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige, and then you have the other crew of Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, you had Sasha, Naomi, Tama. So it's like, I got to tell you, it's all strong chemistry here. Charlotte won for her team. As, like I said, each individual represented their own team. And it was Sasha Banks, it was Charlotte, and it was Brie Bella, I believe. So, it was excellent. I mean, it's just that Divas division was pretty strong already, but now what these few ladies from NXT, which I've been a fan of for the longest time, it just really injects a whole new level of creativity and physicality and strong wrestling in the WWE programming. I think this is just a massive, awesome upside for the WWE to have these people like a Becky Lynch, like I said, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, you know, coming into the fold. You know, and Charlotte, you know, I think that they're doing a good job, you know, obviously bringing forward that Charlotte's Ric Flair's daughter. And that's, you know, that's tough to follow the Nature Boy Ric Flair, you know, it really is. And as you guys know, you know, Nature's part of the same team I'm on here at Play It. He's got an excellent podcast on Play It. So if you guys haven't listened to it, give it a listen. But back to this deal here with Charlotte, I think that they got to really be careful, you know, just my opinion here. Okay, my point of view of, you know, not going crazy with Charlotte that her dad is the Nature Boy. That's tough to live up to. You know, I think Charlotte she's just so athletic. She's so talented. She's got a very, very great, very, very good look. I've had Ric Flair on my show when I was doing Taz Live, and we talked about Charlotte, and we talked about her past as an athlete. I think she was an athlete in college at Appalachian State, I believe, in Carolina. I don't remember all the details on it, but she's just so athletic and just ripped, looks great. But I think, you know, I think the WWE is smart enough. Let this girl grow on her own. You know, you planted that seed, the grassroots, that, you know, second generation wrestler of the great Ric Flair. Now you kind of have to let her, in my view, blossom on her own because she's talented enough. You know, just let her do her thing, you know. And I think the WWE is probably already doing that, thinking that way. You know, because she's just good enough to, like I said, stand on her own 2 feet. I mean, I think every once in a blue moon, it's awesome to interject the Nation Boy Ric Flair because he's one of the most arguably entertaining performers and pro wrestlers of all time and arguably the greatest of all time. So why not have the Nation involved at times? But I do think that Charlotte needs to start really now that she's, I don't know if she's out of NXT for good or what the deal is with that, but being that she's on the main roster now, really crank it, get rolling, and do her thing, you know. Taking the figure four, turning it to the figure eight with the bridge and all, you know, it really innovative, very smart. She's getting pieces of what her dad did, and she's making it her own. I think that's very cool. I do. I think that's cool. I like her finish. It's awesome. Okay, look, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. I'm going to come right back, I should say, and I will get into the semi-main event and main event of the WWE Battleground show that I'm covering right here. Sit tight. Don't go anywhere. Just be quick break. Don't fast forward. Listen to the sponsors. Listen to me, Taz, drop some info on you. I'm Taz. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
All right, look, I got to go take a break right now. Hold on. Wait. You're not. Are you crying? Are you actually crying? There's no crying in podcasting. Get yourself a tissue. I'll be right back.
Want to talk about 20% off stuff? I got a deal for you for 20% off of Mack Weldon, the highest quality shirts, socks, and underwear you will find anywhere. Seriously, Seth, my producer, open your mic. I know you need Mack Weldon because that undershirt you're wearing is horrible.
Yeah, I got holes in it.
And why are you not wearing a regular shirt and you're wearing an undershirt? Put
well,
a shirt on.
Because the fan's only on you and it's not on me. I'm sweating over here.
It is hot in here. You're right.
Killing me.
You got to go to MackWeldon.com. They got to help you out. You get boxer briefs, trunks, undershirts. It's all legit. I myself got their starter kit, which was basically a crew neck undershirt. I got the white one, trunk underwear, which was true black. I got some striped socks. Give me a fancy signature bag. I throw the stuff in the bag. You type in my promo code, T-A-Z, Taz, and bada bing, you get 20% off just like that. Go to Mack Weldon, that's MackWeldon.com. Type in the promo code T-A-Z and get yourself 20% off.
Especially you're a single guy, you want to wear some nice stuff, you know? You don't
exactly.
You want like Hanes underwear, like Fruit of the Loom. When you go on a date, you got to save the good underwear for
like
that.
Like a stiff you wear that stuff. Let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey. Grab Tanaka. Grab Texera. Grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man. I did pretty well. I took some Yankees. Went against King Felix. And the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. Won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ. That's Taz. And play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right. We are back. I am Taz. Again, this is the WWE Battleground point of view reaction from me, yours truly, Human Podcast Machine. So, like I said, I feel like this was a very, very good show. I enjoyed it. Now we're going to get to the show, the Battleground show that many have knocked or bashed because they didn't like the finishes of. Yeah, I don't know about that. John Cena wrestles Kevin Owens. Okay, Cena's a U.S. champ. Okay, these guys have done battle before. Okay, every match, I think it was two, were excellent anyway. Okay, this did not disappoint, guys. Okay, if you didn't see it or if you saw it or whatever, this match did not disappoint. This was just as aggressive. This was very aggressive, physical match by these two fellas again. And you know, it seems like the people that have bashed John Cena for years are now kind of looking forward to these matches he's had or have with Kevin Owens. And even the announcers pointed out, hey, seems like Kevin Owens has brought out the best in John Cena. Well, you know what? Maybe that's true. I mean, who knows? I mean, it could have injected some life into Cena. I always knew Cena was a very physical guy and far from soft. He's a tough dude. Ain't no doubt about it. Now, you don't go play offensive line at Springfield College up there in Springfield, Mass. Lower level college football there. That's not rainbows and butterflies. I mean, so I know the deal with that. And John is a tough kid from Boston, and you know he came up blue collar with brothers and stuff like that. So I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This guy's far from soft. This guy's got heart. He's got a work ethic, and he's showing it with Kevin Owens. And I think that, yeah, maybe Kevin Owens is bringing out the best of John Cena, but some would say that John Cena is also giving the ultimate rub to Kevin Owens, you know, which is a shoot, in my opinion. I mean, it's definitely there. Look, WWE, John Cena, Kevin Owens have built a great rivalry here. I got to tell you, I'm not sure about you, but I never, ever expected these two guys to have the chemistry that they have. Nevertheless, this very strong rivalry, this very strong feud that they've built because of this excellent chemistry. I mean, layers upon layers upon layers, guys, of physicality in these matches, you know, one after the other. It's very tough to come up with creatively for two wrestlers and an agent. Not the creative team, the wrestlers, the guys in the ring, Cena and Owens. I mean, the toughest thing to do after you have a great match one time is like, okay, we're going to have to do this again and we got to change it up. I mean, that you got to get creative. And these two guys have changed it. And I think that they it's just great storytelling from a physical standpoint in the ring by both Cena and Kevin Owens and whoever the agent is of these matches. I will say this too, John Cena, I mean, well, that DDT, I know there was stuff online all over Twitter about that DDT that Cena took. It was insane. I mean, he just took that thing like a champ, right on top of his head. God bless you, brother. Oh, well, not me. It's a good way to break your neck, man. I mean, but he's tough, man. He took that DDT hard and tons of bumps, not just the DDT. There's just tons of bumps in the match. I don't see anything negative in the match, including the finish. I mean, Cena won the match via tap out. And the way Kevin Owens tapped out, he was hanging on, and he lightly tapped. It was more like a shoot tap out. That's how it looks when you're really getting choked out or you're in that much pain. You can't tap like a crazy man. You know, you tap lightly because you are reluctant to tap, and but you have to because you physically can't get out, and your body, you're human. You can't get out. And I think Kevin Owens got himself over that way by doing that. He sold that submission perfectly and waited for the right time to tap. Now, my only negative comments here is, quite frankly, on the announcing. A couple things. I do think that the announcers could have done a much better job getting over the fact that Kevin Owens really hung in there hard and really was in a bad predicament, and he physically could not get out of the hold. And we've seen him throughout the match escape or do other things, and both those guys, I don't think the storytelling and the finish was strong enough, in my opinion. Just being frank. I also don't think that Michael Cole should refer to Kevin Owens as a kid. You know, we'll see what this kid is made of. He's not a kid. I mean, Kevin Owens pointed that out himself when he debuted on Raw on the main roster against John Cena in the ring, that he's not a kid. Okay, I think he said something like he's working longer than Cena is. So I he doesn't look like a kid. He don't need to be a kid. There's no reason to reference him as a kid. That's all. I don't know if Cole was told to say that or not. I mean, it might have just been something that slipped out of his mouth because he's so used to seeing John Cena that he's not used to seeing, you know, Kevin Owens as far as all the years that Michael Cole's, you know, done a good job announcing matches. You know, I don't know. I just think that was the storytelling of the guy. I was always big into, especially in a pay-per-view or a big show match, even a TV match, if a guy is losing, especially via submission, no matter if he's a heel or a babyface, I strongly believe you have to make that guy who tapped out or got choked out or passed out from the pain, especially a tap out, you got to protect him a little bit. You do. You got to. And I just don't think these cats did that. I don't. I'm just the announcers. I just don't. Someone gets pissed off about it, get pissed off. It's just my view. As a former guy who utilized submissions, as a former color commentator and analyst, I just don't, and who knows this style, I just think you really got to do a better job of getting over the guy who lost via the tap out. Now, I don't think that it hurts Kevin Owens one bit, even the way the announcers handled it or lack thereof. I don't think it hurts Kevin Owens. To my point of that, I think some reporters, some folks out there with an opinion are saying that, hey, this is bad, horrible finish. You know, Kevin Owens shouldn't have tapped or whatever. He shouldn't have even lost. He should have, you know, won the U.S. title and all this jazz. I don't know about that. I mean, I think Kevin Owens is getting a monster push. He's making a ton of money. And I'm sure if you talk to the guy, he's probably happy. Win, lose, or draw. You know, I mean, there's no shame in what he did. I mean, it's good business. There's nothing wrong with it. He did an excellent job, and the guy's only got a massive upside, Kevin Owens, with the WWE. I mean, I'm sure they love the guy. He's getting a big push. I mean, who gives a crap that he lost the match? I mean, really, don't matter. You're paying $10 a month. You're getting all this programming. You know, if you're paying $60 for a pay-per-view, then I'd want to see you get your finishes. And then you have a right to bitch. $10 a month for all the stuff you're getting? I got to be honest. As a consumer, there's not much to bitch about there. There really isn't. I mean, I don't think the WWE creatively is dogging the creative process or the finishes or the storylines because you're paying $9.99 a month. I don't think that at all. I think that they felt like Cena needed to win the match, and they wanted to keep that U.S. title on him for whatever their reasons are, and it doesn't hurt Kevin Owens. It doesn't. I mean, he's got a boatload of heat, does Kevin Owens, and a good way, good heat, you know what I mean? So, but I do think that if the announcing protected him better in that tap out, that maybe some wouldn't be bitching so much about the finish, just my point of view. Then he went to a little quick thing. Michael Cole did a good job telling a story of on social media with Ryback with his staph infection and stuff that he tweeted. I got to tell you, I hope Ryback is okay. I hope he gets better and all this jazz. Staph infection is no joke. For those that aren't familiar with it, it's an extremely dangerous, deadly thing that can, you know, you can lose a limb. You can die from this. This is a very serious thing. I mean, so hopefully he's on the road to recovery. It sounds like he probably is, thank God. So hope you know, all the best to Ryback. Hope he gets better real soon and gets back in the ring. The big guy. Then you went to your main event, which was Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins. Look. This was a tight match. People wanted the German suplexes, and they got a boatload of them, and it was physical. And then it was a shocking moment, right? Everybody was shocked, surprised, and all that. The Undertaker returns. Well, I was shocked too. I thought that Undertaker, it was like he just screamed revenge in a good way without saying the words, and that's because Taker is just, his facial expressions are amazing. That's why this man has been just, he's a household name in the business for so many years, and he's been so successful, and he's such a true pro. He's one of the guys in WWE I actually miss having conversation with. I actually miss talking with. I actually miss seeing. I'm a big fan of him personally and professionally, of Taker. It was great. I loved his return. I loved it. I know people were pissed that there was no finish in the match, that Seth Rollins just disappeared. I see your point. I understand what you're saying. It's a little fugazi. It's a little funky, as some would say. I say fugazi. But, they're telling stories here, guys. Okay? They're telling stories here. And I don't think there's no screw here. There's no screw. I mean, you get the Undertaker return. He got his redemption on Brock Lesnar. No one expected it. It was done perfectly. The announcers started talking, and then I assume they got yelled at to shut up and lay out because they stopped talking basically throughout the whole end of the show, which I thought was perfect. Those guys just not saying nothing at that moment. There's really not much to say because the live crowd was going bananas, and you could hear the physicality in the ring of the choke slam and the tombstone and then the second tombstone. It just was, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I mean, but I sit back and I watch these shows as a fan. But I know the other end of it. I understand the entertainment part of it. That's your job as a company, as a performer, as production people, as announcers, is to entertain. And that's what they did in the end of the show. This was entertaining. This was entertaining. Blackout, gong, lights come on, Rollins is gone, boom, Taker's in the ring. Oh my God, here's revenge on Lesnar. Lesnar's in trouble for the first time in, like, forever. And it was good to see that. It helps Brock that he's getting bounced around and bumped around by The Undertaker. That helps him, believe it or not. That fuels his fire to be more pissed off as a heel. And it keeps heat on him. Because the guy's a borderline babyface as it is with the whole Suplex City thing and Paul Heyman and all that stuff. I think it was just good business. I enjoyed it. I didn't feel ripped off, swerved, or screwed. I thought it was cool. I did. you know, but maybe because I've been in meetings like that and I hear the discussions on this and, oh, people are going to be pissed. There's no finish. There's no 1-2-3. You know, hey, there's no new champ. There's no this champ. And you know what? It was entertaining. No one expected it. I didn't feel ripped off one iota. I liked it. I liked it a lot. So that's my two cents. Congrats to everybody in WWE. I thought they did a great job. From the talent on down, I thought it was excellent. I really enjoyed the show, and I hope you guys enjoyed my point of view of the WWE Battleground, the old pay-per-view. Well, not pay-per-view anymore. Well, can you say pay-per-view? Is it a pay-per-view? Not really. It's WWE Battleground on the WWE Network. At least that's not wordy. All right. Well, anyway, so that is my point of view of WWE Battleground. I hope you guys liked my reaction to the show, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Tell your friends and family what's going on. Taz is rock and rolling, doing his thing. Probably drop another show this week at some point. Sit tight, boys and girls. Like I said at the top of the show, if you like me, if you like what I do on the Human Podcast Machine, if you like my point of views and my interviews and my, whenever I have Seth on here, the Kung Fu Jabba, Fantasy Drafts with my man Mike Tenay, whenever, if you like all the stuff that I'm doing on HPM, well, stay tuned very soon. You're going to get a plethora of me, and it's going to be off the hook, as the kids are saying. I'm Taz, you're not. Goodbye.